that, Senator, and I will do that for you.
House Committee on Energy and Environment to order and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 334A and invite Bruce Anderson and Lucinda up. Lucinda? Bruce, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, members of the committee, I'm Bruce Anderson, representing Northwest Natural, a natural gas distribution company serving over 645,000 customers in Oregon. Northwest Natural supports SB 334A engrossed and urges your support. SB 334 contemplates a pretty simple issue. The purpose of the bill is to direct the Oregon Department of Energy to develop and maintain an inventory of biogas and renewable natural gas resources that are available in Oregon. Biogas is the gaseous emissions from the breakdown of organic matter like plants or animals by a consortium of bacteria. Biogas is principally a mixture of methane and carbon dioxide along with other trace gases. Northwest Natural is interested in biogas because methane is the primary component of natural gas. Methane makes up 55 to 90% by volume of biogas, depending on the source of organic matter and conditions of degradation. The natural sources of biogas include aquatic sediments, wet soils, buried organic matter, animal and insective digestive tracts, and in the core of some trees. Human activities create additional sources, including landfills, waste lagoons, such as those at wastewater treatment plants, and waste storage facilities or structures. Renewable natural gas is biogas that has been conditioned or cleaned up so that it can be used as a transportation fuel or placed in a pipeline along with traditional natural gas. We believe capturing this gas and utilizing it as a fuel source for our customers or in the transportation sector has an environmental and health benefit for Oregonians. In addition to having ODOE maintain an inventory of these sources, SB 334 asks them to consider the environmental impact of the gases and their uses, address barriers to developing renewable natural gas, and to consider policy issues associated with these gases. In developing this information, the agency is to appoint an advisory committee, and they are required to report back to the legislature. ODOE has stated that they can incorporate the tasks under SB 334 into their existing work plan. We have worked with ODOE on developing the legislation, and I would note that SB 334 passed the Senate unanimously, and we would ask for your support of the bill as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Any questions for Bruce? Representative Barnhart.
I would note that I received a postcard from Northwest Natural saying that they were going to come visit me to talk about renewable natural gas, something such thing. It's a very pretty postcard. Do you know anything about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart.
This is in my capacity as a consumer, one who uses and pays for this product.
Well, Representative Barnhart, first of all, thank you for your support and as a customer. I believe that we are undertaking a few steps and to go out and into communities and talk about this issue as well as some of the other issues that we actually as a company have been working on towards reducing our greenhouse gas emissions as a company. We've got some carbon reduction goals that we've set. We're out talking to folks about that to make sure that they're looking at that thing. RNG actually is one of our top priorities as a company to as part of that strategy to do that. And we feel that as especially when it comes to uses in the transportation sector. A lot involved with it. I'm not a scientist, so in terms of some of the details, but we definitely want that outreach.
Quick follow-up. If I may, how does this inventory help your company? You know what this bill does?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, getting a handle in terms of what all is out there is really what we are after here, not just in our service territory, but as a state as a whole. We think is important to the overall environment and in terms of helping to how we address climate change in the state and find out just all what's out there. We think that RNG and biogas, from whether that's landfills, wastewater treatment plants, which we think are make a lot of sense right now because of their proximity to pipelines, as well as dairy digesters. But just what can we do to help clean up the environment with respect to these methane emissions that are scattered throughout the state? So it's not just, we feel, not just our company or the other two natural gas utilities in the state that could benefit or help out with this, but just really our, I think, our state environment as a whole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions, Representative Holvey.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I would imagine that the infrastructure that Northwest Natural has and other gas companies would lend itself to easily adapting to dealing with, I guess, the physical properties of biogas and converting methane and those sorts of things to biogas. But I also, you know, just thinking about this, I'm very intrigued, and I know it's probably a ways in the future, but I know that many communities are starting to look at food waste as a source of fuel stock or a feedstock to create biogas. And, you know, just contemplating that, I know there aren't a lot of food waste facilities yet that are converting that, but it has the added I guess, attraction of taking methane out of the landfills before it gets to the landfills and actually converting it to biogas, which is much cleaner than letting it just go up in methane. So it has a couple of purposes. Does Northwest Natural see a future potentially in that kind of development and being a part of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holvey, I think in terms of doing what the bill does, trying to get a handle on what there is and where it's located, I would presume would be come up in this inventory project as well. But you know, rather than doing what is often done now in terms of having it flared off, you could flare it off. I believe it's flared off and used to generate electricity on site at some of these facilities. But being able to capture that methane so it does not go into the atmosphere. In the case of landfills, think about what is going into a landfill. So you'd have to clean that up to some degree to make sure we're not having any, I don't know, toxic gases or what have you. I mean, we have to have certain, there's a standard, quality standard at which we have to have gas in our pipelines that we're kind of governed by the federal government in that regard. So once you can clean that up and get that in, then that's really methane emissions that are not being directly going into the air right now. We feel actually the best use of gas is at the burner tip. That's the most efficient use for gas, whether it's natural gas, RNG, or biogas. I hope that answers your question.
Sort of does. Thanks. It's close enough.
Representative Bent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So two questions. I guess the first one is, where does DEQ fit into this? I know that they have some sort of oversight on landfill activities, and I'm just curious where they are in relation to what you do when it comes to cleaning up this gas and making sure it's okay, or who is it that's making sure that the things happen that you just mentioned?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bentz, we worked with the Department of Energy. Because they're focused on energy, governing and dealing with issues related to energy. That's kind of where we were looking at the bill coming from in the first place. Getting into the environmental issues, as you're talking about, if DEQ has a role to play on that, I would presume that they're presently involved with that activity and that regulation right now. Anything going into our pipeline, we're going to be governed by the, and I'm going to sorry for my use of an acronym here, but federal government's regulatory oversight committee, PHMSA, which is then contracts with Oregon Public Utility Commission that regulates how our pipelines are used, or you know how they're operated, I should say, excuse me. We have to meet those standards. Actually, I think in many cases, Northwest Natural exceeds those standards. We want to make sure we have a very safe operating system. And we've had one for a very long, long time. Whatever gas is going through our pipelines, I believe that is regulated and handled presently. Any environmental issues, I'm sure DEQ is presently handling that, whether it's at a landfill, a dairy digester, a wastewater treatment plant, or what have you. And we would certainly, you know, invite that oversight.
Follow up. So I'm not sure how many different credits we've created, using the term loosely here in this building, that apply to biogas. I can think of a couple. But is there a way that we can tally up the various incentives that we put in place to promote the use of and capture of these gases? I can think of the low carbon fuel standard, because people take great glee in pointing out the 11 trucks or whatever it is that Fred Meyer owns that entered into a contract for biogas. But of course, that was driven in part by two or three different credit systems. So it would be of great interest to see how many credits we've stacked up to make this such an enthusiastic topic of discussion. I'm not asking you for them now. I'm just saying, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that companies involved in these kinds of exercises have probably done that. And it would be great to see it, just because I'm interested in, you know, what we're paying for what we're getting. But no hurry.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Bentz, I appreciate that. We're not contemplating, nor are we asking for anything with respect to tax credits in this bill. We want to get a handle and an idea for what is the possibility of renewable natural gas and biogas that is out there right now. If that's if there's a tax credit out there, that's something I'm not going to be able to comment on at this point in time. I'd be glad to get back to you, though, on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Yes, of course, I'm not asking you to. Take your time. What I'm giving you is a lead or two to follow, because those who buy the stuff from you will enjoy those credits. And so that's why Fred Meyer entered into the contract, because of the credits and many others. So the trick for us up here is to see just, again, what we're paying as a state for what we're getting. And so to the extent that fits into what you're doing, that would be really helpful. No hurry, because this doesn't demand an instant response.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vance, thank you very much. One thing I would point out, where we're seeing applications close to this right now is really where we've got return to base type of trucks and fleets of trucks, whether they're like a UPS or a garbage hauler or something like that, that can be on a compressed natural gas type of system, which is in and of itself a fairly clean use of natural gas in a transportation application. When you go to an RNG application, that we're looking at it again from an environmental standpoint, that is an even more even cleaner use on the environment. In many cases, beyond gasoline and other petroleum-based fuels. Again, I'll get back to you on the tax credit, though, and see what I can find out. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
My name is Lucinda Heights Claybaugh, and I live in Forest Grove. I have served as a science and math professor, adjunct faculty with Portland Community College, and was a science and math teacher for about 30 years. And I do come as a scientist to object strenuously to several parts of this bill. While it is important that we have an inventory, we need to start tracking the leaks that exist We need to have a list of the locations of each of these sites, and we need to have a supply chain from beginning to end throughout the whole process of all of these different projects. We need to be able to have people keeping track of the amount of methane and the leaks that exist. The problem is there isn't currently required reporting and regulation. That has not been stated accurately, and that is a concern. We need to have accurate tracking and reporting of all aspects, from every aspect of it, from the very beginning to the end of the process, of how much methane there really is. And natural gas is a problem. I would start by saying that it's disingenuous to claim that natural gas results in benefits to air quality and reduced greenhouse gases. That's not a true scientific or mathematical statement. And I object to that based upon the United Nations Environmental Program November 2014 Emissions Gap Report. I brought this information to you as a committee previously. Unfortunately, a lot of you had to go and get up and leave and go to other committees. So I did put in three graphs, very nice 18-inch color-coded graphs, to show people the results of the NASA data from the United Nations GAP report about carbon and about methane. We have not met our goals in Oregon, and we have not a hope of meeting them if we keep allowing there to be things like this, where you claim that something is not going to harm air quality, and the reality is it does. It adds. Mathematically, when you add methane to the equation, you are adding fossil fuel gases, you're adding greenhouse gas emissions. And we're trying to get down, is our goal. We're trying to get down to 1.5 degrees, ideally. Two degrees is too much. We're trying to get down, and we're not going to get there unless we start looking at all aspects of what we do. And we can't try to create alternative facts about how you define what methane is and how this adds to our problem. It does not reduce it. It adds to it. So what we need to be doing instead is encouraging truly renewable, clean, green, solar, wind, wave, tidal, electric cars, electric trains, electric everything, magnetolevitation, everything. We've got to change how we think about what we're going to do if we're going to be serious about leading the way and joining Europe and people who are working at this seriously. The challenging goal is then to sequester, to trap, to capture, not to flare off, for Pete's sake. That definitely is not what you want to do with it. But DEQ has not been doing anything about the actual tracking of this and reporting of it. It has not been required. You guys do need to do that. We need an inventory. California does a much better job. They've got a good model. We could look at some of their stuff they've done. They've actually been tracking and looking at how many wells there are with fracking and so on. There are a number of different pieces of this. They're saying that our main problem right now with, it's not just the carbon, but on top of the carbon is the methane. We are not going to be able to reach our Paris Agreement goals because of the methane. Natural gas, pipelines, in any form, we can't do it. We can't add to that problem. So, yes, we need an inventory. We want to capture it. We want to sequester it. We have to track it very carefully to know if we're going to get towards our goals or not. And then each industry has to be held responsible and should be paying, just as there should be carbon credits and a price on carbon. You should be having a price on your methane.
So, Ms. Cleburne, I think we've heard a lot of testimony about the need for carbon pricing systems, et cetera, and we've had good discussions on that. This bill's fairly narrow, however, so I'd ask you to stay on the topic of the bill and not wander into
there are whole sections I would have to have you delete then, because for people to be talking about barriers.
All we're talking about here is having ODO do an inventory.
You're also talking about creating an advisory committee. And I think that there should be people on the advisory committee that are scientists, who are concerned with air quality, who are concerned with public health, who are looking at the connection, direct connection between what is put into our atmosphere and the health impacts. And so Oregon Health Authority people should be working as a part of that, too. But we should not be developing any of these projects that would not be involved with actual capture and sequestration and trapping, frankly. And I would ask that people delete all of the sections where they refer to this making improvements in air quality and reducing greenhouse gases, because those are simply not accurate. I will be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I think I only have one, because she got back to the topic later on. I have to say that much of your testimony I completely agree with. Unfortunately, it's not germane to this bill. The question I have for you let me say it this way. I think the bill presupposes that organic waste, organic materials will eventually outgas methane or similar gases as part of the normal process of rotting. I'm sure I'm not using the correct scientific word, but you know what I'm referring to. And that having an inventory would allow for the possibility of gathering that, either the material itself or the gas that outgasses from it, and using it in a way of generating power and reducing the toxicity of it for the atmosphere, because converting something from methane to CO2 instead significantly reduces its greenhouse effect. At least so that's all we've been told. What's wrong with that analysis, with that understanding of the sort of the eventual aim of a bill like this, which actually does only a part of that piece? What have we missed in that? And let me add one more little factoid. If you're able to use gas that otherwise would be outgassed from these natural processes, and instead use it in place of fossil fuel natural gas, don't you reduce the fossil fuel add to the CO2 load in the atmosphere, or the methane load in the atmosphere?
No.
You don't?
Can you
explain a little more about that? Because if you're right, then I've completely misunderstood the point of this kind of bill.
Yeah. There really aren't any, Chair and Representative, there really aren't any truly clean, green things that don't add to our atmosphere's problems that are so severe right now, except for solar, wind, tidal and wave sorts of activity. Those are the things we have to choose to focus on. All of these others, while they're like a second step up, they're better than coal, but they add every bit of. Right now, if we stopped all production, this is one of the things I had said in my other testimony to the other committees previously with all my graphs, which I do hope you will go back and reference or read for yourself the 88-page report, the GAP report. If we stopped all production of everything right now, we're still looking at maybe not making it in approximately 10 years to 12 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think she's answered my question. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you both for your testimony today. Appreciate it. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 334. And I'm going to open, can I open the public hearing and work session simultaneously? Mm-hmm. You have people to vote, right? And I'm going to open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 865A and invite April Snell, Mark Landauer, and Aaron Doyle up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Helm, Vice Chair Power, members of the committee. For the record, April Snell, Executive Director of the Oregon Water Resources Congress, here to testify in support of Senate Bill 865A. I did submit written testimony for the record earlier today, and I won't repeat all that. I'll just highlight a few things about this bill and why it's important to our members. So Senate Bill 865A is the product of several years' work with our members to reinstate a partial plat review process. Our members, which are irrigation districts and other agricultural water suppliers around the state, some of them have the ability to review plats before they're finalized, and some do not. There used to be a statewide authority for all of them to review and approve or disprove these plats, but the authority was removed in the 90s. And in the 20 years since then, there have been a lot of unintended consequences that have happened around development that's occurred in traditional agricultural areas where the districts haven't always been involved in those development processes, and it's led to unnecessary delays on the part of the property developer as well as protracted legal battles and insurance claims that we would all like to avoid. So what Senate Bill 865 does is address this issue by providing districts an opportunity to receive notice way earlier in the land use process. It would be in the tentative plan stage prior to the final plat. And this would allow districts to provide information to cities or counties about where their facilities are located. And then the city or county has the option to decide what to do with that information and can use that information to help adjust the development if that's needed. But our intention is really to avoid some of the worst of the adverse consequences that have happened, where you have situations where people have inadvertently built structures on top of pipelines or built around district easements and right-of-ways to where they can no longer operate and maintain their water delivery systems. So Senate Bill 865A is an important step that will help ensure that irrigated agriculture can continue to deliver water to their farmers and other water users while developers are able to develop property, and in making sure that cities and counties have all of the best available information prior to making a development decision. We did heavily amend the bill over on the Senate side to address a variety of stakeholder concerns, and the bill did come out of the Senate committee unanimously and also passed the Senate floor unanimously. So with that, I will stop and answer any questions you might have about this important bill.
Let's hear from the rest of the panel, and then we'll go to questions if there are some.
I'm the latecomer, but sure, I'll go ahead. Chair Helm, members of the committee, I'm Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon in support of Senate Bill 865. Forgive me. Ms. Snell mentioned unintended consequences, and oftentimes those unintended consequences are what we commonly call encroachments. An encroachment, for example, can be building into the foot of a levee or into the foot of a canal. The results of that often can be somewhat traumatic. Over the last 10 years, I'm holding $5 million worth of claims against our insurance program as a result of various irrigation canal problems. So this is a real problem, and I want to thank the cities, I want to thank the counties, and I want to thank the home builders for working with us to get to this point. It's an important issue. A lot of public money is involved, and there's a lot of consequences for private property owners when an irrigation canal fails. So this is a good policy. I think it's something that is long overdue, and I commend the bill, hopefully, for your approval. Thank you.
It's nothing like writing testimony from the table. Good afternoon, Chair Helm, members of the committee. For the record, Erin Doyle here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. We are neutral on Senate Bill 865A as amended. We do appreciate this April and her members working with us to address our issues and concerns through the amendment process adopted on the Senate side. First, we appreciate that the clarification of the timing of the notice to be specific to the tentative plat map and planning process instead of just at the end, because it's at that time that we can really make any substantive changes to the decision that we're going to have at the final outcome. If it was at the finalization of the plat map, that would be we would already have done this tentative process where there's actual land use decisions going forward. So this timing in the process was better for us to adjust to any comments that were made. Second, adding the requirement that these districts provide cities and counties with maps or lists of their facilities, rights of way, easements, etc., and those locations will provide cities with the notice that there is a potential for some of these conflicts. Currently, we are only able to review maps that were filed with the county to determine what does currently exist on a parcel, and not all of the information that would be provided to us through this amendment is considered sufficient enough to be filed with the title of the parcel, and therefore we don't necessarily know what we're running into when we're looking at a plat map. Therefore, this addition is an important step for cities to know when this infrastructure is outside of what we consider their service territory. We might not necessarily know that there remains a canal in existence because it looks like an urban area, but it in fact still has their infrastructure there, and we shouldn't be interrupting with a subdivision sitting on top of it. In addition, I wanted to note this is very important for us to be clear on the understanding that this bill is in addition to, not in a replacement for, our local ordinances that are currently required to provide for a notice procedure under ORS 94.0441D. While cities are going to be required to follow the notice requirements within this bill, we can add and continue to be responsible for our notice requirements under that section of the law that deals with tentative map notice to the state and to other special districts, which does include these districts. We do not believe that this bill provides the special districts with any land use authority, but it can provide cities with clear and explicit information that can better guide our outcomes. And we have worked with other stakeholders to develop the amendments so that we could be neutral on this bill. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Thank you. Very good. Thanks for your work on this. The collaboration is appreciated. I'm going to stand at ease for a moment. Committee back to order, and I would entertain a motion on this bill.
Chair Helm, I move Senate Bill 865A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Power moves Senate Bill 865A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I'll just note that this is the type of legislation that I think is particularly valuable, where you're having collaboration between governmental entities and coordination. It makes a lot of sense to me, coming from the land use side of things in my professional career. I'm noting that we are missing three of our Republican colleagues today that are excused for other business, but I think we're going to go ahead with a vote today. So unless there's other discussion, I will call the roll. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Holvey?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Reschke?
Aye.
Vice Chair Power?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. Representative Power, would you like to carry this?
Be happy to.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. So for folks that may be here for Senate Bill 100, the paperwork on the Dash 2 amendment is not ready yet, and so we will be rescheduling that to another committee date in the near future. With that, however, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 99. And Beth, can you remind us?
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 99 would require Senate confirmation of the director of the State Department of Energy. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact on the measure, and you originally heard this bill on 5-8.
I would entertain a motion on this bill.
Chair Helm, I move Senate Bill 99 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Representative Powers. Power moves Senate Bill 99 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Holvey?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Reschke?
Aye.
Representative Brock-Smith?
Aye. I
just need to... Vice Chair Power?
Aye.
Recognize you.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes, and... Representative Brock-Smith, would you be the carrier on this?
I would love to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to move to suspend the rules to allow Representative Brock-Smith to vote on Senate Bill 865A.
Representative Holvey moves to suspend the rules to allow Representative Brock-Smith to vote on Senate Bill 865A. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Representative Brock-Smith.
Aye. Thank you. I apologize for my tardiness. I had
no excuses.
Three bills I in the Senate.
We've got your vote on the two bills we voted on today. So. With that, I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 99. And unless there's other business in front of us, anything for the good of the order?
Why aren't we doing that?
Just one.
Okay. Senate Bill, for folks that are following, Senate Bill 334. Is Bruce still here?
He is.
Do you want to stand at ease for a moment?
Yeah, let's stand at ease for a moment. I'm going to... We have... And I'd entertain a motion on Senate Bill 334A.
Chair Helm, I move Senate Bill 334A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you for that motion. I'm going to consider it made, but I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 334A.
Chair Helm, I move Senate Bill 334A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Power moves Senate Bill 334A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative
Just
Barnhart.
Really quickly, it seems like a fairly obvious step to me that we figure out what the inventory is in furtherance of moving from fossil fuels to renewable, to a biogas, I guess is the term used in the bill. One of the advantages that Oregon has, which is a huge advantage, is the method in which we allow Northwest Natural and the other gas companies to receive their to make their money, and that is we allow them to charge for the cost of distribution, and the PUC considers the cost of the gas that they use as a separate item, which means they have no incentive not to use the best possible approach to both greenhouse gas reduction and low cost for consumers. It's a great plan, and this bill, as far as I'm concerned, is simply a way of moving us a step closer to reducing the fossil fuel use in Oregon, reducing the imports that we make that are a drag on our economy, and move us toward a more renewable system, contrary to one of the witnesses we heard earlier today.
Thank you for that. I'd also just note that to the extent that we're able to use biogas to power some of our vehicles, it has some of the lowest carbon intensity of any of the alternative fuels, and it may not quite be as good as electricity, but it is awfully close, so it's a resource worth pursuing.
What a roll call.
How about a roll call? Okay. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Reschke?
Aye.
Representative Brock Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Power?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. Representative Barnhart, would you like to carry that?
I was afraid I was talking too much. Sure, I'll carry it.
Thank you. All right. Good. Well, thank you, committee. I'm going to adjourn the House Committee on Energy and Environment.
Yeah.